How serious is China about clean energy? About $75 billion worth.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. And as usual, we've got the global perspective for you this hour, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us in the United States. Imagine a stack of $1 million bills and then multiply that 75,000 times. That's how much the Chinese government reportedly plans to spend every year on clean energy technologies. Chinese state media are reporting the $75 billion will be used to boost wind, nuclear, solar, and carbon storage. Our China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
China's proposed clean energy budget is three times as large as the entire budget of the U.S. Department of Energy. The environment's going to need all the help it can get to contend with thousands of these. A train carrying coal winds through a mine tunnel in Shanxi province. To keep up with the country's exploding growth, China builds, on average, one coal-fired power plant a week.
What China is doing, which is good, is they're building the most efficient power plants in the world.
Deborah Seligson is head of the China Climate and Energy Program at the World Resources Institute.
The next challenge for China will be whether they choose to take some of the carbon dioxide that is emitted from those power plants and start storing it underground.
China has a handful of pilot programs that are doing just that. And with this new funding, observers say China will be well-positioned to eventually sell its carbon storage technology. It's been quite a successful formula for China. It's done quite well exporting solar panels and wind turbines to the U.S. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Asian stocks were mixed as the new trading week kicked off over there. In Europe, meantime, the major indexes are up solidly at this hour. The question is, will Wall Street get over its job jitters? It took a break from its uphill climb on Friday after the Labor Department's employment report soured the mood. The Dow starts the week at 10,653 after giving up 21 points on Friday. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 were both off about 4 points each.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
As contentious as it is here at home, controlling who crosses the border is just as big of an issue over in Europe. Latest estimates showed there are anywhere from around 2 to 4 million undocumented migrants and over 1.5 million refugees living in the European Union. And although annual numbers are down due to the economic downturn, tens of thousands more people are smuggled in every year. Christopher Wirth has more from northern France.
At the port in Calais, one of the car ferries that run between France and England prepares to depart. Every year, thousands of refugees and illegal migrants try to sneak into the UK, hidden under trucks, loaded onto boats like this, or on the trains that run from here to London through the Channel Tunnel. Mathilde Tiberguin is with the United Nations Refugee Agency.
It's really dangerous to cross to the UK. Some people die.
But for many, the situation is even more dangerous at home. Ports all along the north coast of France have become the last jumping-off point for people fleeing conflict in countries such as Afghanistan, Iraq, and Somalia. Many are often spurred on by false rumors about the ability to find work quickly in the UK and to access housing and education.
Smugglers will often tell lies to migrants because it's their economic interest that migrants cross to the UK because an additional journey means additional money.
Not far from the very boats he hopes will ferry him to England, a 26-year-old Sudanese man relies on the one meal a day he gets at this soup kitchen next to the port. He says he paid smugglers $3,000 to escape the Darfur region of Sudan, much of it borrowed from friends and family. Like other migrants, he's expected to pay that debt once he settles in Europe.
So what do you think it's going to be like when you get to the UK?
Maybe I'll get a job there, maybe I'll get married there. All my dreams.
But those who do make it across often find it hard to make those dreams a reality. Life in the UK is often harder than they expected, and asylum seekers can't work while their applications are being considered, a process that can take years. But as Tibor Gein points out, from Calais, you can actually see the coast of Britain. And after crossing thousands of miles, it's hard to give up after coming so far. In Calais, France, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
The field of available jobs just got smaller at employment centers in Britain. They can no longer advertise jobs for what we'll call adult performers. Until last week, government-run help-wanted offices in the UK could offer job seekers the chance to work as strippers or lap dancers. But as the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports, a change in the rules means that's no longer allowed.
For years, the British government's been criticised for allowing the adult entertainment industry to advertise in their job centres. Chris Grayling is the Work and Pensions Minister.
We've had over the years a steady flow of adverts, very often in clubs for pole dancers and lap dancers, but also increasingly for women who strip in front of a webcam and it's broadcast on the internet.
At the last count, there were 350 posts for topless waitresses, nude cleaners and strippers, all advertised in government job centres. But in tough economic times, Grayling doesn't want people to feel they have to take this type of work in order to pay the bills. But some adult performers are angry at what this new ban implies. Giselle is training to be a lawyer, but also works as a lap dancer and didn't want to use her last name.
To my mind, that classifies us as sex trade workers. People have these preconceived ideas about what lap dancing is, but it's actually not that.
The ban doesn't include jobs like working as a bouncer or a cleaner in a nightclub. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
OK, as long as we're on the subject, let's wrap up with a final note that shows just how liberated the UK really is. A British publisher is planning to release a new audiobook that might be a little risky to listen to while driving. It's a spoken version of the Kama Sutra. Tanya Franks, the British actress who just finished voicing the text, says she was a little nervous at first, but turned out to be completely relaxed and had a great time. In fact, she says the only thing missing was the cigarette afterwards. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.